Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Winston Churchill had a daughter-in-law. Her name was Pamela, Pamela Digby. In September of 1939, after war has been declared by Britain because of the violation of the sovereignty of European states in alliance with Britain, there is war between London and Berlin, the beginning of the Second War in Europe. A dinner in September after the declaration between Randolph Churchill, son of the man who is now at the Admiralty and will be the very famous Prime Minister, goes to dinner with a young woman named Pamela Digby, who is 19 years old. At that dinner, Randolph Churchill says, "Will you marry me?" Having never met her before. We learn later that he's asked a number of young women to marry him because he believes, along with his generation, in his regiment is going off to war to die the way their fathers did in the First War. The surprise is that Pamela Digby says, "Yes." I welcome the author of Kingmaker, Pamela Harriman's astonishing life of power, seduction, and intrigue, Sonia Purnell. Sonia, congratulations. It's a scene like no other. Hollywood wouldn't dare make up such a scene. Who is Randolph Churchill at this time? Who is Pamela Digby? And what is the result of their impetuous decision? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Well, Randolph Churchill, the only son of Winston Churchill, you're quite right to say he was at the Admiralty at that point, not yet Prime Minister. But Randolph has been brought up to believe that he too is destined for greatness by his father. He's been a rather indulged young man. He's often rather drunken. He gets into brawls. He can be obnoxious, but he can also be supremely charming. But what he has, of course, is this great entree into high society in London, the political world, the military world, the worlds that young Pamela Digby is desperate to enter, having been brought up herself as a young aristocrat, family rather cash-strapped and down in Dorset, far away from anywhere. She wants the bright light. She wants intellectual fulfillment. She wants to be part of what's going on here. Now there is this war going on. She's desperate to play a part at the centre of it, not to have to go back to the country house where her family resides. And so she's asked out to dinner at Quaglino's, a restaurant that still exists, by the way, in London. She goes along. Her friend has urged her. She doesn't know Randolph Churchill at all. She knows that her parents disapprove of the Churchills, and particularly Winston. They think of him as a sort of rather chancy political type that they wouldn't want their daughter to have anything to do with. They don't believe in all the warnings that he'd been sounding about Hitler. If they do believe them, then they'd rather not think about them. So this is not something that her parents want her to do at all. But she agrees to dinner. Randolph ignores her practically all the way through, except by the time they have coffee, he swings round, looks at her intently and says, "You look healthy enough to bear my son. Will you marry me?" And the most unromantic proposal, perhaps. But she says yes. And why does she say yes? Because he offers her that chance of escape from Dorset and that doorway into what she thinks is the most exciting lifestyle, really.
Let's go to Dorset. It's March of 1920, the birth of Pamela Digby. Mom and dad are always important. It's been said to me more than once that your parents' marriage is the dinner party you can never leave, so we'll attend it here. Pansy is her mother. This is the firstborn, and Kenny is her father. He's Coldstream Guards veteran. Both Pansy and Kenny have survived not only the first war, but the epidemic, the flu. And they live in a house called Minturn, which has, strangely, more than 50 rooms and no bathroom, because yes, that was considered unhygienic, I guess, at the time. It's on 1,500 acres, as I recall, and it's very far from town. A dirt road takes a while to get there. It takes a whole day to get to London. Growing up as the eldest child, they wanted her to be a boy. Did they raise her as boyish? How was she raised?
They expected her to be a boy, being the firstborn. I don't think they raised her as a boy. I think it was more that she saw that boys had all these advantages that she didn't. Pansy and Kenny went on to have four children altogether. The third one was the only son. And it was quite clear right from day one, he was the one who was going to inherit Minturn, was going to inherit the land, but perhaps even more important, as far as Pamela was concerned, was going to be sent away to school to have an education, to have expectations of him. She was brought up in a class and in a generation where it was thought that women who were too well-educated would not be attractive wives and that she would never be able to find a husband. So until much, much later, when she was allowed away for about a year, she was just educated at home by governesses who were barely educated themselves. And she really, you know, her spelling was pretty bad. Her math was atrocious. She grew up a young woman with a very, very keen mind. But knowing that men had all the chances and all the money, and how on earth was she going to satisfy this very good brain that she had, which had not been trained in any way?
Her mom and dad take her to Canada, I believe, at one point, and she meets an older man. He's in his 30s, so it would have seemed ancient at her age. And she flirts with him and learns the power that she has with men, with older men. I believe at some point she was with males her own age and she found them immature. How did she find that first flirtation?
Very exciting. He owned a newspaper in Canada, and he wanted to hear what she had to say. He obviously thought she looked radiant and beautiful, and they went riding together. But also he was interested because she had been sent to be finished, as they used to call it, in Munich. I mean, most bizarrely, in 1937, a 17-year-old girl had been sent off to the headquarters of the Nazi Party. So she had met Hitler very briefly in the Englischer Garten there. She had seen the stormtroopers in the street. She knew what it was like and how terrifying these things were that were going on in Germany. And here was a man who was not only attracted by this very young woman, but also intrigued by what she had seen. This was thrilling. This was someone actually who was interested in her brain. And that was what really inspired her to think, well, you know, maybe there is a way into an exciting and fulfilling life outside Dorset with an older man who wants to talk about the things that I want to talk about.
The connections that Pamela Digby leads me to are blinding. I just wrote down some of the names here. The Mitfords are there. The Churchills are there. Good heavens. Sonia's mentioned the dictator Hitler in 1937, supremely powerful, surrounded by Nazi National Socialist Hitlerite German Wehrmacht officers. That's 37 and 38. The whole of Europe is gripped by fear of war. Remember, this is a generation that was devastated by the First War. They don't want to go back to war. They'll do anything. And that explains a deal of Chamberlain and the reversal of fortune that Chamberlain suffers because of Hitler's deceptions. Pamela's watching all this as a teenager. Now, something important, there's an important event. I didn't write down the date when, as a debutante, she comes out and she has a number of days, it's understood, to find a husband. And she meets the king and queen, and then there's a number of dances and parties where you're supposed to match with a young male of your class and your education and your ambitions. But it doesn't happen for Pamela. Why not, Sonia?
No, it doesn't. And you're right, by the way, to mention the Mitfords. It was Unity Mitford who introduced Pamela to Hitler. But yes, it was 1938, which was a very glittering season, you know, considering what was going on not that far away. And you have about 6 or 8 weeks to hook a husband, as they saw it. You're on a marriage market. And Pamela failed. She failed because she was a little rounded. You were supposed to have a 17-inch waist, and she didn't. But much more important than that, really, was that she didn't play that sort of, you know, coquettish game that others played. She wanted to talk about Hitler and things that were going on. And the young men who were around and who she was supposed to be matching up with certainly didn't want to talk about him. And so she was seen as a bit of an oddball and rather pitied. And she met Kit Kennedy at this point. Joe Kennedy, then obviously the American ambassador to London, brought his family across. Kit was also JFK's sister, obviously, was also involved in that season. And she saw Pamela being a bit gauche, a bit different, a little bit plump, and described her to Jack as that stupid, fat little buttleball. So, and that's how people thought of her at the time. By the way, Kit Kennedy later changes her mind completely. They become very, very close friends. And she sees that Pamela, in fact, is extremely well-versed in pretty much everything. But those initial impressions were as just someone who was a bit of a joke, as Nancy Mitford put it. And so no husband, a complete failure at the end of that season. And Pamela is a bit adrift, to be honest.
The book is Kingmaker, Pamela Harriman's Astonishing Life of Power, Seduction, and Intrigue. Sonia Purnell is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.